Hello guys, it's Chris Vint here, one of the co-hosts of Operation Retroshock, where I co-host with my good friend Alan Price. We cover everything and anything retro on Operation Retroshock, whether it be things from Thundercats, we've interviewed Larry Kenny, Transformers, we've interviewed Stan Bush, Thunderbirds, Shane Rimmer, voice of Scott Tracy, Resident Evil, Alison Court, voice of Claire Redfield, Pokemon, voice of Brock and James, Eric Stewart, and so much more. If there's things you would like us to cover, why not send us an email at vinto316@gmail.com with something you would like us to talk about. You can head over to operationretroshock.podbean.com, hit the donate button, and we will gladly do that for you. So yeah, why not get back in time with us, because heck, being back in time is better than being it now, isn't it? They're saying that don't make them as good as they did in the old days. Well, I can attest to that. I can remember the good old days. Oh, yes, the good old days. Well, anyway, thanks for listening, and bye.
Hey, gang. Duvall here with some all-new deals from the Crazy Kings of Toys. If you head over to www.crazykingsoftoys.com, Memorial Day weekend is coming up, and the Kings want to honor the soldiers of war with a very special sale by rankings. So, starting on Friday, May 25th, and continuing until May 28th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can take advantage of a lot of awesome different rankings. There's the private ranking, which is $5 off your purchase of $36 to $53. The corporal ranking, which is $10 off your purchase of $54 to $71. The sergeant ranking, which is $15 off your purchase of $72 to $89. The lieutenant ranking, which is $20 off your purchase of $90 to $107. The captain ranking, which is $25 off your purchase of $108 to $125. There's the major ranking, with $30 off your purchase of $126 to $143. The colonel ranking, with $35 off your purchase of $144 to $161. I don't know why I just went southern there. The brigadier ranking, with $40 off your purchase of $162 to $179, as well as a manual shipping upgrade from partial post to priority for domestic orders. And finally, the general ranking, which is $45 off your purchase of $180 or more, as well as free domestic shipping. And while you're there, make sure you check out some of the newest items that are in stock now or on their way to the Crazy Kings of Toys. Representing the forces of Eternia and Etheria, for Masters of the Universe Classics, Skeletor's Smelly Soldier Stinkor. Joining the ranks of Skeletor's Galactic Forces comes Slushhead. And finally, Scott Toy Guru Nightlick's Vintage Entry from the Masters of the Universe Create a Character Contest joins the ranks of the Eternian Heroes with the upcoming arrival of the Mighty Spector. Representing the world of comics marks the upcoming arrival of DC's Golden Age Speedster and founding Justice Society of America member Jay Garrick. Along with him is the legendary Overseer from the fourth world, Metron. And finally, representing Gallifrey and Time Lords all over the universe, the Doctor Who Mini TARDIS Construction Set. So they hope to see you soon. And don't forget to sign up for their newsletter, where you'll receive a coupon for 10% off any upcoming order. And there's no doubt, they are the Kings of Toys. But find out why they're so crazy.
The Toy Bar is open for another week of Toy Talk, so pull up a stool, grab a drink, and listen to Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles, brought to you by the Crazy Kings of Toys. And now, here are your hosts, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper.
Whole thing in my head.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a whole new episode of David DeVos Toys and Collectibles. We were rocking and rolling before we recorded here, and we're going to be talking a lot about what we were just talking about because Dave never...
I think he hit record real quick before I ran out.
Dave never fails to surprise me. Ladies and gentlemen, David DeVos Toys and Collectibles brought to you every week by the Crazy Kings of Toys at www.crazykingsoftoys.com. We'll be talking more about our wonderful sponsors here later in the day. Dave, how the hell are you?
Pretty good. I had a pretty good day today.
It's because you took the day off?
I had the day off.
Okay, Okay, let's set this up.
All right, so
you have been lording over the JoeCon website for the last 2 weeks.
Lording's not the right word, but yeah, about 2 weeks ago, on Friday, we got an email, because I want to go to JoeCon, and there was an email saying, okay, well, the start of next week, we're going to open up registration.
Right.
So last Monday, you know, I'm sitting there, and it's like, you know, click, click, and the thing keeps saying, coming soon,
right.
Click,
right.
Click, click, and... You know, I killed a whole day just sitting there waiting for it to pop up, and it didn't pop up, and finally I'm like, okay, to hell with it, and, you know, like about 6 o'clock, I kind of, like, went and got dinner and went to bed, and so the next day, you know, I figure, okay, well, if it wasn't up Monday, it'll be up Tuesday.
Right.
No.
No, not at all.
Killed the whole day Tuesday. Click, 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 click. And our good buddy Wheeler is wants to go to JoeCon, too, so we're, like, sending texts to each other, commiserating, and, like...
Right.
One point, I'm like, I gotta walk the dog. He's like, I'll take over for you, buddy. And then he's like, I gotta go to physical therapy. I'm like, I'll take over for you, buddy. And so we were like spotting each other. And about 4:30 in the afternoon, I got an email from the administration at the GI Joe Con. Oh, it's not going to be today. Like, oh, thank you.
And that's
thank you. The whole day has been spent. Oh, no, actually, Tuesday, I forgot. I skipped this part. Because Tuesday, like, what happened is at one point, like, about 2 o'clock, the screen went white.
Right.
Like, and I'm like, oh, my God, now I know what all those people I made fun of who collect Masters of the Universe feel like.
It's yes.
Like, click, 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 oh, my God, oh, my God. It's the white screen of death. Oh, crap, oh, crap, oh, crap, oh, crap. And finally it came back and it was like, coming soon.
You're like, fuck.
I'm like, did I miss it? Was I shut out? And they said, no, no, no. We got an email at 4:30 saying we're changing servers. And the deal is... They got hacked. And I think we talked about... Ironically,
long
we talked about
ago,
this
yeah.
only a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
We talked about how their website got hacked and their credit card information. But it actually happened a while back. And they're changing servers so that they can have a more secure server for people who want to sign up for JoeCon.
Right.
So I'm sympathetic to that. And I think that particular day, I wasn't that mad about it because they were explaining what was going on.
Right,
you know, after,
right.
Kind of a little after it happened, but okay.
Right.
And they're like, okay, so, you know... But it's not going to happen today. And I'm like, okay. So Wednesday, we're back to click, click, click. And by Wednesday, I had really kind of had my fill. I mean, I was getting really...
You were ready to just be like, I don't need to go to JoeCon.
I don't need to go to JoeCon. I can just take the money that I was going to spend going to JoeCon and buy the set on eBay.
Right.
And, you know, I would still have about half my budget. well, I mean, I had a lot, you know, I'd be spending a lot on it, but I had a big budget for this particular convention because it's
right.
a Joe convention. I figured I was going to be buying a lot of stuff in the showroom.
Exactly.
So it's like, screw it. And I got real... I mean, I really blew my fuse on Wednesday. I mean, just got real super epic level pissed. And
right.
my girlfriend ended up talking to me for like an hour and calming me down and getting me in a better mood. And we don't need specifics, but she got me in a much better mood. I liken it... Actually, it was like Hulk and Betty, you know?
Yes.
Where Betty's like, no, don't destroy Las Vegas, Hulk. And Hulk's like, ah, smash everything. She's like, no, calm down. So, and also, Wheeler, our good buddy, I have to say that, by the way. Like, if it sounds weird that I always say that, it's like this deal that we have now. So, like, it's like in the old Iliad poem, they always say, Wily Odysseus, he's our good buddy Wheeler.
Yes.
You always have to add that. But, yes. He agreed to take over Thursday. You know, what I call switching comic book companies, I call it monitor duty. He was up in the watchtower on monitor duty. So Thursday, I actually got to, like, go outside, feel the sun on my face,
yes.
The wind in my hair, take the dog to the park so that she could finally poop after 3 days, because my dog holds it. My dog is spoiled, and she will not poop anywhere but the park.
Well, now let's put this in perspective here. And I'm thankfully Carrie's not up here to hear this because she would probably give you the fifth degree.
I am in full Ospinger's OCD mode, Captain Ahab hat on my head. You know, it tasks me, and I shall have it.
Well, I kind of figured you were in that mood because yesterday we had talked.
Oh, I was in full on
and I knew
obsessive mode.
I had texted you and you never responded to the last text I sent, and I knew why, and I was like,
I was like, no, I can't take a single precious second away from this screen.
Part of it was I was being an asshole because I knew how frustrated you were, and I was like, you know me, sometimes I like to have fun at your expense without like not physically or mentally hurting you.
Particularly when you're far away from me.
Yes, exactly. So, smiling to myself, I had texted you and said, hey, how's the Joe-Con thing going? You're like, same shit, different day. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that sucks. You're like, yep. I'm like, hey, you know, while you're sitting there in front of that computer doing nothing, you could edit.
Yeah.
And then I never got a response.
That went over well. That went over well.
Well, I want to state publicly that I apologize for my joke, but dear Lord, I couldn't help it. It was, you were right there. I was just like, I have to. I'm like, I love Dave. Dave loves me. Like, not in the, you know, in the brotherly way. And I'm like, I have to give him shit because if I don't, my day isn't made today because I know that he's just sitting there hitting F5, refreshing his screen 3 million times a day.
Pretty much.
And as we've talked about before, you get in these modes, this mission mode.
It's called mission mode. My girlfriend calls it mission mode.
And that is what you were in.
And that's what I was in.
And I've seen mission mode. I've been a part of mission mode. But
when we go to like the toy shows, man, it's all mission mode.
Exactly.
It's that's one of the issues I have with my girlfriend is when we go to C2E2, it's like she wants to stop and talk to people. I'm like, no.
Toys.
There are toys.
There's a booth right there. I gotta
toys. I gotta go. I gotta look. I don't want to talk to these people. I just want to like see if they've got it, buy it from them, and move on to the next
move
table.
Move on to the next table.
I'm not like making friends. I don't know these people. I'm going back to Springfield. I will use them, and when I'm done with them, it's like a space launch. You cast it off, and it burns up in the atmosphere.
Yes.
So anyway, the part of the reason I was getting real mad is, as I said, on Tuesday we got a thing about 4:30. On Wednesday we got a thing about 5:00. Oh, it's not going to be today. On Thursday, after another day of clicking, 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 about 4:30, 5:00, we get an email. Oh no, it was 4:30, because the email was, it's either going to be about 5:00 today, or it'll be tomorrow.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, for God's sake. So 5:00 comes and goes, and it didn't happen. So Friday, it's going to happen Friday. Click, click.
No, it didn't happen
click, Friday. Click, click, click. And again, like 4:30, 5:00. We get this email. Oh, well, it's not going to happen this week. And at this point, what irritates me is not that they're having problems. Because that happens.
Right.
You know, I understand the situation. Their whole thing got screwed up right before this big event.
Right.
You know, and stuff like that happens. But it's like the minute you go in there at 9:00, it's not ready to go. That's when you should say, you know what? We need to tell people, so we don't waste their whole day sitting there.
Yeah.
We need to call it right at the beginning and then spend the rest of the day making sure it works. Rather than, like, frantically trying to get it to work and hope that we can get it thrown up at, like, 3:30 or something.
Yeah.
You know, you need to just call it. It would be better if we got the email at, like, 9:00, it's not going to happen, than spending the whole damn day in front of your computer, you know, or checking your phone.
Right.
Or, you know. Always wondering if you missed it because you went to the bathroom for 5 minutes, you know, and then 5:00 they go, oh, it's not going to be today. So we got the weekend off. He said, oh, it'll be Monday.
Right.
Monday. Click, click. And at this point, our good buddy Wheeler, like around 3:00, he's like, did you get the email yet? I'm like, I did not get the email yet. Click, click, click. And the email didn't, like, by 5:00, the email hadn't come.
Right.
And I'm just like, okay, well.
Because you guys were still sitting there, like.
We were still sitting there, and I'm like, you know, it's 5:00. I'm calling it. I'm going to go do things. You know, I got to get dinner. I want to, like, you know. Like, literally, at some point, I checked my email before I went to bed, and by 8:30, they sent an email. Oh, it's not going to be today. It's like, yes. Sons of a bitch. Yeah, I figured that out. Thank God that you managed to like give me at least 4 hours left in Monday before midnight for me to do things.
Oh shit!
But what they said was, they explained the situation,
right?
And they said that they're trying to get these new servers to work and they're having issues and they're gonna take this. We're recording this on Tuesday. They're gonna take today and make sure that it worked,
right?
And then get back to it and then Wednesday was gonna be the day,
right?
Now, whether or not that... Now, see, if I were running this thing, like, by now, I would know whether or not we got it to work.
Exactly.
And I would send out an email, and I actually haven't checked. To be fair, I haven't checked since I came over here. An email saying, okay, it's going to happen tomorrow, or it's not working, it's not going to happen tomorrow.
Right.
But meanwhile, like, the Friday email had this thing about, well, we know that some of you are planning on flying out, and I hadn't even thought of that because I'm driving.
Yeah.
It's like, we know some of you are planning on flying out and that, you know, you've got to try to book your airfares before it becomes, like, prohibitively expensive.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh my God, I can't imagine. If I were planning on flying, I would be like, as pissed as I was on Wednesday, I would be like epic level, just furious.
Right. No, I don't blame you.
Because they're like dicking around. You know, people got to book stuff. People got to get the hotels. People got plans they got to make, and they don't know if they're going to get. Because the whole thing is there's a limited amount of these packages that have the October Guard box set.
Right, right, right.
And I think people, myself included, if I don't get that set, I'm not going.
Right.
You know, if it gets shut out, I got no reason to go. I'll just stay home and get it on eBay like I planned.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's really the reason I want to go is to get that set and then get the other additional things. The convention, I don't want to say it's completely superfluous, but I mean, it's in addition. It's if I can't get the one thing that I really want from it, then I really don't want to bother with all the other extra. It's almost not worth going.
Right.
And I know that Wheeler, our good buddy, feels the same way.
Right.
And we're both kind of in that same boat. So it's just like, you know, dude, just get it. Just get something. Because it's like, well, we're going to have, we're working on this special thing where, like, you can log in and see what package you bought. And I'm like, I would know that because I bought it.
Yeah, it'd be like, I already bought the package.
And each one is a different cost, so I could just check my, you know, credit card.
Yes.
Or because I'm not Dory from fucking Finding Nemo, I could remember with my brain.
Just keep swimming.
Oh, I mean, I just... It's just, you know, a part of me feels bad. It's like I don't blame them for what went wrong. I blame them for how they're handling it. Because they're just, every day you feel dicked around.
Right, exactly.
And that's not cool,
no.
Guys. I mean, I get that the stuff happened beyond your control, but it's up to you. And at this point especially, man, you need to, like, cut out the bells and whistles and stop being fancy and stop trying to add new features and just get something up. Because it's, you know... I know that Wheeler is talking about how this is going to be his first and only JoeCon. And I'm kind of like, yeah, well, unless it's freaking Chicago, I'm not sure I'm going to go again.
Exactly, yeah. And then we were talking about we've talked about it before on the show, but you had pre-ordered the Hot Toys Joker.
The
Nicholson Joker.
I ordered that back in September.
And at one point, I was like, are you going to get the Batman? And you were like, no, fuck Batman. I'm not going to get Batman. I just want Joker.
Whoa.
No.
I never said that.
Because you were like, you know, they're...
No, because
like,
I was hurt. I was hurt because they announced the Batman first, and I was like, Batman, Michael Keaton, oh! And then announced the Joker. I was like, oh,
right, and then you were like...
I mean, it was a Sophie's choice. It was not, screw Batman. It was like, which one do I want? Well, and I chose the Joker.
Yes, and then before we started recording, you said, have you seen my new picture on Facebook? And I'm like, no, I saw the Joker pictures, and you pull... you're like, well, that's okay, because I took it on my phone. And you pull up this picture on your phone.
It's a gorgeous picture, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's amazing, because awesome. That particular figure photograph... I mean, it looks like photographing a person.
Yeah, and it's the Hot Toys Batman standing in front of a TV with the Hot Toys Joker on the TV. And I was like, wait, when did Batman get here? And you're like, Monday. I'm like, are you, like, when did you order Batman?
Right after the, literally the same day the Joker came in.
You were like,
it shipped the same day, but I guess it shipped later in the day.
Really?
You know, I'm not even sure what the thought process was.
So wait. So the Joker got here. You opened it up. Mm-hmm. You played with it, and you were like, in your mind, you were like, I have to have Batman.
No. The Joker came into the store, and I got the shipping notice, and I'm like, you know, I don't remember the thought process, but I was like, I'm sure I could find $240 somewhere.
Jesus Christ.
So they were still in stock, and I'm like, okay. So I ordered it, too, but they shipped the same day, but
Joker got here first,
because it literally shipped that day, and I think Batman shipped.
Oh my
God. Even though I ordered them the same day, Batman shipped the next day.
Well, we already have a review of the Joker coming.
Are we going to have one of the Batman, though? Because I know he's going to hook up with Hot Toys.
You know, here's the thing. I know what he's doing right now. He's doing Joker, and he's got another one on the line that isn't Batman. So I'd say do Batman.
Okay.
Do Batman.
All right.
Because those toys are amazing.
He also photographs better. Like, Joker is problematic because he's got the white skin.
Right,
so it's
right.
Like you light him up and the face washes out. Where Batman... Oh, my God. It's like photographing. It looks like a real person.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. These things are freaking... The only bad thing is, and I told Brandon this, too, and I hope... Because I know his deal is he's kind of getting them on loan.
Right,
so I hope he's, like, super careful. Because I was swapping coats on the Joker, and I popped the seam on his shirt.
Yeah.
It's just like, I mean, those things, like, I popped off Batman's bat symbol from his thing, because it's glued on, but I guess the glue is brittle. I got lucky it was brittle, you know, but it's like there's a piece that snaps back.
Yeah.
Pumping, I didn't break it. I just, like...
That's the one major hassle with Hot Toys stuff, is a lot of times, they look beautiful and marvelous, but, like...
Well, they're not toys. Right. They're display pieces.
My Iron Man Mark IV has a broken flap on his back.
Yeah.
So the speed flap that pops up, they're broke. It's in the box. I'm like, I'm not going to bother to fix it because I don't even know where the other part's at. And one of my Batman, when we moved, I packed everything up, put them all back in their boxes, packed them up, moved them, brought them back. When I pulled him out of his box, the peg that held his hand in broke.
They ship with extra pegs now.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Well, that's
although if it broke inside the slot.
Yeah, it broke in the slot. So I was like, well, shit.
Uber sucks.
So if you look at my setup now, the one Batman is holding his grapple hook gun up in the air. That's the one that's broke because that's the only way I get the hand to stay on.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I thought it was funny. I just looked at you and was like, really? Really?
Dude, for like maybe 30 seconds, a minute, I would say. Once I got him, there was like maybe a minute there where my brain was going, I bet I could find $500
for the Batmobile.
Batmobile.
Oh, Dave,
want it so badly.
But knowing you, okay, here's the thing: if I know you, I know you well enough after all these years that if you get that embedded in your head like an earworm,
it got close. I managed to shut that one down. I think
if it gets embedded, you literally would go, well, I'm on a diet anyway. Do I really need food that month?
Well, right now I'm like, you know, Joe-Con's taking me around, and I'm probably going to end up with a couple extra $100 that I wasn't spending going there. Oh, it never occurred to me, it's like, I could just put that money in the bank and leave it alone and let it accrue interest. No. In my mind, that money's spent.
Yes.
So it's either spent on Joe-Con, and if I don't go to Joe-Con, then maybe I'm getting a Batmobile.
Spent on a Batmobile. My God, David.
My problem is I have no place to put it. But, I think for that Batmobile, I wouldn't.
You would find a spot.
I wouldn't give a fuck. I'd put it on the couch.
You would put a new shelf up just for the Batmobile.
I would buy tables and set it up somewhere.
Yeah. That thing is too cool.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. It's so cool. See, the thing is, it's hard to explain because it's very sort of emotional. But that movie came out right when I graduated high school. I mean, in some ways, that's like the last... Because we're going to talk about this book later. I mean, that was the last probably movie of my childhood, you know, in some ways. Because, after that, I went off to college. And I saw it with my best friend, and we saw it opening night, and it was at the Esquire Theater, and there were 300 Batman fans.
Yeah,
and
it was just a big deal.
That movie is a huge cultural touchstone. You know, I love the Nolan Batman films. I really do. I love the take that they do on it.
Yeah.
And I always, you know, the animated series is my golden... standard for Batman.
Right.
But that 89 Burton, Keaton, Nicholson Batman movie is just, it's got one of those, it's like Jurassic Park. It's a flawed movie, but I love it so much.
Right.
It just means something to me emotionally.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a picture that I'll probably use in my review from my freshman dorm where I'm sitting there like an idiot and there's like a Joker poster on the wall.
Yes.
I'm like, hey! It just, you know, I mean, I fucking blasted that soundtrack that my whole freshman year from my boombox. I love that movie. So when they announced that Batman, I was like,
you were like,
so cool. And then they did the Joker. I'm like, oh, it's like when Peter skins his knee. It's like, oh,
yes.
It was like flip a coin and Joker won. And then 7 months later, I was like, fuck it. I don't care. I'm in a bad mood. I'll piss away $200 more.
Bye, Batman.
By Batman.
Oh, hell.
So cool.
Something else happened today.
Did it?
Well, there have been images...
I was busy being outside and being away from the machines.
Transformer fans have posted images from... I don't know if this is from a Japanese... Not sure where...
That kind of looks Canadian to me.
Yeah.
It's French.
I wish I could tell you what...
Le Sandwich.
What magazine this is, but... It comes from a Japanese article where they were showing the Masterpiece 12, which I think is Sideswipe, if I remember correctly. Somebody might correct me on that, but it's
yeah, we got corrected last week on the box sets from
Bob. Right, and that's fine by all means.
Yeah, because I wanted to have an opportunity to quickly point out that Like, I'm definitely not a Transformers guy.
Right.
I mean, I love the toys. I have a lot of the toys, but right. I would never consider myself
an expert.
You know, like I'm this big G.I. Joe expert, you know, which,
yeah.
again, I'm sort of amused by. But, like, with Transformers, I would never, ever, if I make a mistake on Transformers, you know, it's because I honestly, I love the line. I think it's cool. I am not an expert. And
yeah.
You're more the Transformers guy, and I don't think you're that. I think person, like, if you want to be an expert on Transformers, that's like, a marriage. That's a dedication. That's a job almost to like know everything.
There's so much.
And all I'm going to say in my defense is that there's a site that I read that talks about Transformers, and that guy's obsessed with Shattered Glass. So I really thought that they had done more than just.
And you know, and by all means, I mean, if you know, I'm all for if fans listen to the show and we say something wrong, and by all means, because we don't do. This show isn't so much about we got to research all this stuff and do this.
Yeah.
This is just about Dave and I.
It's opinions.
Down. Yeah, it's just opinions and us chatting about toys. That's what this show's always been about. So by all means, if we're wrong, please correct.
Yeah, because and that was kind of my point. Is that this isn't really our wheelhouse, so we appreciate the input.
Yeah, absolutely. But they showed it's one of the Autobot cars. I'm pretty sure it's Sideswipe.
Okay.
And it's, you know, the G1. Well, they showed a silhouette for what's going to be Masterpiece 13. And the silhouette, while people are like, oh, it's very vague, if you look at the way it's designed and the way that the body sets, people are speculating that it's going to be a Masterpiece version of Soundwave.
Okay.
Which I'm excited for. I don't care about the Masterpiece.
People would be like crazy for Soundwave.
I don't care about the Masterpiece toys in general. They're great. I've got a number of them.
I've got Grimlock.
Yeah, I don't have, you know, I still don't have Rodimus, and I always wanted the Rodimus, but I've never gotten him. But if they announce, and this is Soundwave, and he comes with a lot of cool shit, I will pony up Big Bad Toy Store and put him in a pile of loot. Because that is one Masterpiece figure that I want.
It's one everybody wants.
Yes.
You know, I would be shocked if it wasn't like Soundwave, especially at this point with 13 of them. I mean, why are you doing this Autobot car before Soundwave?
That's well, crazy. Which, if you think about it, they've done a number of Optimus Primes. They did.
Well, okay, Optimus. They did Megatron. They did Grimlock.
They did movie Starscream and Bumblebee, which was kind of funny because they were just basically the leader class versions of the Hasbro ones with, I think, some diecast parts and new paint jobs. So, no, I'm excited though. If this actually, I mean, a lot of people are you know, they're like, oh, it could be another Optimus. It doesn't really look like Soundwave. It's very vague. Blah blah blah. I don't know.
Why wouldn't you do Soundwave?
I know that, you know, people have been begging for that version of Soundwave. Hell,
if that was one like that, because Grimlock showed up at Toys R Us. If that showed up at Toys R Us, I'd probably buy it.
Yes, your little pal, the electric Gremlin that you've I think you've seen a number of times. Haven't you wanted the electric Gremlin?
No, I don't want the electric. He's the thing that I dislike the most about Gremlins.
Fair enough.
I like the Spider Gremlin.
The Spider Gremlin is one that didn't have a home yet. Gotcha. It looks like the Lightning Gremlin, which, funny thing is, it's just like a piece of PVC.
Yeah, because it's a crappy character and a stupid idea, and apparently NECA's doing it. Thanks, NECA.
Well, it's going to be $10 because it's tiny, but
because
it's like,
crap!
Looks like it's going to have a home of Toys R Us. It's going to be Toys R Us exclusive.
That's not a surprise. They carry a lot of NECA stuff.
So
does anybody else even carry the Gremlin? I mean, aside from online, does anybody even carry the Gremlin stuff?
So that'll be out July. That's kind of neat that's finally coming
out. Hey, you know what would be cool? Spider Gremlin.
Spider Gremlin would be wonderful.
Yeah. I bet Toys R Us would take it, because that'd be perfect for them.
You remember the guys over at Zolo World?
Yeah.
They are doing basically almost a vintage retro version line of figures that's almost kind of like, it's basically their version of the classic vintage Masters of the Universe bodies, and they're actually calling it Warlords and Wizards.
Okay, so it's like Warriors of the Lost World. It's like one of those classic knockoff.
It's kind of like almost like the Rimco stuff.
But the Rimco stuff. That's what I mean.
Yeah, but these are all their original designs. They're going to be about $30 each, with price discounts on the entire sets. They'll be offered in limited waves, and of course, there's some test shots of these figures, and they look. I mean, they're very Masters of the Universe ish, but. They've got some very interesting.
Yeah, they're like a cooler. They are like a cooler version of the Remco knockoffs.
Yeah. Because there's a guy with a, you know.
Yeah, well, the Skull Guy's why I keep going back to that, because that's the one that I remember the most.
Yeah, and of course they're doing like some skeleton bodies and stuff. They're doing some interesting body types on these figures. It's pretty cool, actually. Very, very cool. You know, I know Zolo's been wanting to do something like this for a while. They've been doing collectible packaging, you know, like the resealable collectible packaging you can put your Menthol card stuff in for a long time. So them finally doing this is pretty cool. Pictures of the NECA Rocky Series 2 showed up.
Oh, jeez.
I know, right? More of the weird ab articulation on these figures. But it looks like we're getting bloody spit versions of Rocky. And
looks like Ivan Drago.
And Drago, yep.
I will break him.
I will break him.
He's not human. He's like a piece of steel.
Yeah. So,
We need Apollo in his little,
we need an Apollo coffin.
I was going to... Well, okay. Boy, you just took it... I was going to go dark, and you took it one step darker, because I was going to be in that, like, little Uncle Sam outfit, you know?
Or...
He's got, like, right before, like, he kills him, but then...
Or we need a spirit Mickey. Like, just kind of a partially translucent Mickey. Oh, dude, come on.
We need the robot.
Oh,
we need the robot from part 3.
Yes. Yes. And then we need broke-ass Rocky from Rocky 4.
Rocky 5, I think, is when he was broke-ass.
Oh, yeah. Because Rocky Balboa, he owned a restaurant.
Yeah.
A successful restaurant.
And he had his son was apparently a mutant who had the ability to... it was Nathan Petrelli.
Petrelli. It was Peter Petrelli. Yep. Yes, it was. Our good buddies at Figures.com every year, my old friends over there, Jeff Saylor. Every year they put together a very extensive San Diego Comic-Con checklist for exclusive toys.
Yep.
And he has already started the work in progress, but some of the stuff that that is on here is Bip Bang Pow always has a number of exclusives that
the Entertainment Earth catalog. There's like a whole the centerfold is just all Bip Bang Pow.
Yeah,
I mean maybe there's like one other company, but it's
they
it's
are
crazy.
Doing this year for San Diego Comic exclusives. They're doing a bloody 3¾-inch version of Brock Sampson from Venture Brothers. They're doing a $6 million man, Dr. Rudy Wells, with Tim Tote.
And the thing is, that comes with three different heads for
yes.
three different actors who portrayed him.
Yes.
Or trade him.
They're doing a Battlestar Galactica Cylon with a Tin Toad. They're doing the Twilight Zone, two different Twilight Zones, one the Invaders diorama, and one the Canimates cookbook set. They're doing an original TARDIS Doctor Who bobblehead, and a Doctor Who TARDIS Tin Toad gift set. And then Bluefin Tamashii Nations is doing a SH Monster Arts Godzilla figure in the Comic-Con Explosion. So it's this very Dayglo orange.
Ah.
Yeah, it's kind of...
That's not cool.
Yeah, I mean...
In my head, it was like Godzilla stepping on the...
No, it's very...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's my idea was like a million times cooler because he was stomping on the San Diego Convention Center. And...
Yes. And then they're doing a Super Saiyan... who was that? Super Saiyan
it looks like
Son Gohan.
No, Son Gohan.
Yeah.
Sure.
Special color edition.
Sure him.
So, yeah. That Godzilla, though, is going to be $55, man.
God bless him.
Something.
Good luck with that.
It's quite a bit of money.
See, that's neat. I mean, I hate they keep doing the retro Mego style, but...
Well, Biff Bang Pow, I think, does that better than even Mattel did it.
It's just... Guys, come on. The $6 million man had actual different... It would be cool. It's just a pet peeve, but that had actual action figures at the time, and they were not Mego style.
Yes.
And that actual figure would be cool, like, if it were, like, compatible with vintage figures.
Yes.
With, like, the multiple heads.
Yeah. C.S. Moore Studios and Zenoscope are doing a 6-inch Grimm Fairy Tales Alice Little action figure in a red dress, and she's very sese.
Yeah, she is.
Very sese. She's got boobs, man.
Oh, I love... Oh, God. When we were in high school, a buddy of mine was hang on. Was drawing. Like, he would do, like, Star Trek, blah, blah, blah. And that reminded me of, like, his female officer's uniforms. Like, the skirts, like, came up, like, to, like, the waist.
Right.
You know, it was like they didn't even bother covering the panty line. And that Alice figure had a skirt like that. Oh, hey, yeah, yeah.
They're doing a... Factory Entertainment is doing a Garfield My Hero Shake'em, which is basically their version of the bobblehead.
Okay.
It appears. I could be wrong.
Garfield's not even in our paper anymore, I don't think.
No. They're doing a Kiss Mount Kissmore.
Oh, that's what that was.
Miniature, basically Mount Rushmore with
Kiss
faces.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now that I recognize Gene.
Yeah. So, let's see. They're doing a My Favorite Martian black and white Shake'em.
Jesus.
Yeah, those are their
Who the version. Hell even remembers that?
Oh, well.
I sort of do.
And then a Men in Black Worm Guy Shake'em, which, you know, is... Again, their version of the bobblehead.
Yeah.
Hasbro, of course. Of course, we've got G.I. Joe vs. Transformers, Shockwave, and his tank with Destro.
Yeah, you got to give me one of those.
I got to see that picture. Hold on. Look at it. It's pretty.
Yeah.
I almost want one of those just because Shockwave's gone.
I think you can get two.
I think so, but damn it.
Well, I'm going to give you the money for God's sake. Whoever gets me the thing, I'm going to give them the money.
We've got two different, two different Jinx figures.
I know. She's the regular one.
Weapons.
She'll be the regular one.
And then the variant.
She'll be the pain in the ass one that you probably won't be able to get.
Yeah, which is the one try. Which, yep.
That's no excuse not to try, but.
And then the Star Wars Carbonite Frieza.
Oh, God.
Yeah, six pack.
Stupid Hasbro.
I know, and it's pretty cool looking.
I know.
Is that going to be something you're going to want?
I may try to get that one on the website. I don't want to load you down.
Yeah. I know. It comes with the Jar Jar Binks.
And, I just want the Jar Jar Binks. Oh, it sucks. Like, you know that I didn't know this. At Disney World, you can go in and do experience. And, like,
yeah.
Your own. Yeah, our buddy Wheeler's doing that.
Yeah.
Bastard.
Yeah, it's $100.
I know. I don't care. That's so cool to have your own little personalized Carbonite. By the way, we're speaking in code. You go down to Disney World and you go through this, like, little. You have to pre-register for it too.
Yeah.
And they take your picture.
Basically, it's Disney Hollywood Studios. It's where the Drew Carey's Sound Station, I think it was called Sound Sational Experience, was located. But that is now gone, and they're using a third party company in conjunction with Hasbro and Disney to do this. But yes, basically, you pre-register for it. You go there. They take your picture.
Yeah.
And then they basically put your face on a Carbonite figure.
Yeah, frozen in Carbonite figure. So cool.
On a scale, 3¾-inch.
Is it 3¾-inch? I thought it was bigger than that.
I thought it was 3¾-inch.
Man, now I'm like super pissed off.
I could be wrong. Mattel of course, we've seen the Mattel exclusives. Vicron, Tiny Titans, Vertigo Death Statue, Dana Azul, Comic-Con Mater, and then the Polly Pocket Villain set. I'm still sad that we still don't see what the actual car set looks like. It's just the damn box. And then NECA West Kids is doing a 7-inch Predators Cloaked City Hunter action figure.
Oh, from Predator 2? Yep.
Predator 2. And they're doing a Giant Man Super Booster for HeroClix, which is just an amazing, it's HeroClix, so hey, who cares? Hey, who cares?
That's still around.
And then last week, right after we got done, actually the day after we recorded.
Was it?
I think so. Mattel sent out to their... to all of the Club Eternia subscribers, they sent out the first pictures of the October 2012 collector for Maddie Collector for Master Universe Classics, which is Mechaneck finally.
Mechaneck, yay!
So their people are finally getting Mechaneck, which is kind of cool because he'll have two different interchangeable neck segments, one in a 2-inch and one in a 5-inch, so you can actually recreate, you know his neck expanding feature. So kind of cool. Kind of neat to see that. Since we finally pretty much have all the parts for Mechaneck, they were finally able to justify making that figure. So, that was kind of cool. It was kind of neat to see.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Mechaneck and Ranman are the two sort of classic vintage characters that everybody's been waiting on.
Yep, and now Ranman's going to be one of those figures they won't do for another, like, 2 years at that. Because they know once they do Ranman, most of their subscribers are going to drop off. Because by that point, they've made pretty much every vintage figure. I mean... there's a number of people who just wanted the core characters, and they really want Mechaneck and Ranman. I've seen a lot of people say, once I get Mechaneck and Ranman, I'm done. Hmm. Like, they're like, I'm done, I'm not buying anymore. But then again, I've seen people say that before, and it's never happened. So
yeah.
I can pretty much count on my hand how many people have been like, fuck this, I'm quitting the line, and have actually quit. And then I need like 50,000 more hands and toes and fingers to count all the people who have said that and have continued on with the subscription. Pretty funny. We were in a bookstore last year around Christmas time, you and I.
Okay.
We were in Barnes & Noble.
All right.
And there was a book by an author, Mark Bellomo, who many of you, if you've been on Toy Forums and such, if you're on histank.com or that, Mark Bellomo is actually a very well-known collector.
I've got a couple of other books of his, I think.
Yes, he's written some other books. But he came out with one called Totally Tubular 80s Toys. And you and I saw this on the shelf at Barnes & Noble. We were like, oh, cool. We looked at it, and we were both like, $35. It was Christmas. We were like, I don't know. Flash forward to last week. I managed, didn't manage, but I had time to go into Barnes & Noble in my lunch hour. And usually I go to Barnes & Noble.
I think it was Friday.
It was Friday.
Because it was the next day, yeah. Which was Saturday, because I had that. Freedom!
Yes. So I go into Barnes & Noble on Friday on my lunch. I look around. Usually I look around and then I go through the budget section just to see what budget books are there. Because usually they, you know, that's where I got my Simpsons seasons 1 through 20 book that, you know, it was a $250 hardback book when it came out. I got it for $20. Because it was in the budget section.
Yeah.
So I look, and then I see a stack of these totally tubular 80s toys there. Now, originally, this book was original price $30. It's bargain price at Barnes & Noble. Don't know if it's at every Barnes & Noble, but at ours at least, $6.98.
Yeah.
Which is a hell of a deal.
Yeah.
So I bought one, and then immediately sent Dave a picture and a text and said, hey, $6.98, Barnes & Noble, budget books, go buy.
And I was like, I can't leave the computer.
It was like, I can't go. But buying this and then we, you know, flipping through this book, it's actually well put together. It's
very cool.
It is. It goes from 1980 all the way to 1989.
Yep.
Covers all pretty much the major and most of the minor toy lines.
Well, not even toy lines. I mean, there's a section on stickers, Goofy stickers. And I was oh my God, Goofy stickers.
Yep.
Garbage Pail Kids.
Garbage Pail Kids, Garbage Shortcake, Mork and Mindy, Buck Rogers in the 25th century, which I looked at this and looked at Karen and I said, Dave's got all those.
I don't have all of them, but I have a lot of them.
Who are you missing?
I've got Bunny Buck, Tiger Man, and Wilma, and I think I need Dr. Hewer.
Oh, do you?
I've got the Draconian. I've got Tweaky, I've got the Draconian, I've got the Princess, and I've got the Draconian leader guy.
Oh, gotcha, and Draco.
Yeah.
Of course, Clash of the Titans, they show, he's got in here, Garfield plushies, which were big.
I had that.
You had it or you had it?
I had.
We need to...
See, the thing is, one of the things I want to say, like, because I did go out Saturday and buy the book, too.
Yes.
And for me, what was really kind of interesting is the first, it's broken up by year.
Yes.
I'll say chapter, but it kind of mean year. And, like, for the first four, from, like, 1980 through 1984, which is the first five, really.
Right.
It was like, I had that. And it was interesting, because I got to 1985, and it was, like, almost like a flipping a switch. And what was really funny to me is, it's 1985, when you get there, it's, like, Teddy Ruxpin, Garbage Pail Kid. It's, like, all your stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, my time ended, and your time began.
Well, and you were saying, too, like, when he gets to the Master Universe stuff,
yeah.
You're talking about how cool it was, because he actually, when he shows the playsets...
He's got pictures of all three of the major playsets.
He shows them from, instead of from the front, you actually see it from the behind, so you actually see the play area inside the playsets, which is something none of these books ever do. They don't ever show you...
Yeah, they always show you the front.
Even though we all know what the play areas look like,
I didn't know what Attorney's play area looked like.
Oh, really?
Because I've never had one.
Yeah. And Eternia's play area was really kind of cool looking.
Yeah.
I mean, not a lot there for the size of the playset, but enough there to, you know, I guess to an extent justify owning that playset. And then Snake Mountain was kind of the same thing. It's nice to see the play area of that.
Well, it's just really interesting for me because, like I said, I've always seen the fronts of them.
Yeah.
Because the fronts are all very dramatic and very cool looking, but, you know, there's always that kind of like, what's the backside? What's, you know, it's like, with the flag, you know, you never really see the tower.
Right.
The backside of the tower.
Right. But yeah, they showed, you know, just all kinds of great stuff. The Smurf toys from Schleich.
Every now and then they'll do a Barbie to, like, let you know what's going on. Dungeons and Dragons. And then I went through, they've got pictures of all the different modules. I was like, oh, I had that.
Yes. Like Hot Wheels, the flip-outs and the crack-ups.
I remember the crack-ups. And then the other thing is at the end of each year... They do, like, the top 10 films, they do the top 10 TV shows, and then the top 10 singles.
Yeah. And then some little information about that time period.
Trivial Pursuit, had that. Got G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe is well
Although the funny thing is, the G.I. Joe's, like, even though it's in 1982, all the Joes he has pictures of are from, like, 84 through 87.
Right.
Which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah, My Little Pony. You know, E.T.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Television. The Indiana Jones stuff.
Yes.
Then MASH. He like does this huge thing on the MASH stuff, which is weird because that was like such a footnote toy line.
Yeah, but he
collected it. I think that was the thing is he had that he's a big G.I. Joe guy. And I think he had the MASH stuff because he was in a G.I. Joe.
Yes.
He kind of mentions that.
Yes.
But it was just interesting because we may do a video on that playset.
Yes, so
was,
we may.
Like I keep we're kind of putting it off. So I've got this thing sitting in a box.
Yes.
So it was neat to like look at it, put together. I was like,
that's gonna be awesome.
Cabbage Patch Kids, got a couple of those. And then the weird thing is, I remember there was an article on Cracked about like the most inappropriate toys or something.
Yes.
And like the preemie Cabbage Patch Kids.
Yeah.
How messed up is that?
Yeah, that they made preemie Cabbage Patch Kids. God, it's ridiculous.
A-Team.
Mr. T and A-Team. Fraggle Rock. GoBots. Friggin' Care Bears. Just so much stuff in these books. Transformers. Yeah.
I saw that and I was like, oh, poor
Well,
Jason.
Carrie and I had looked at this book and they Jason. Show there's a decent size article on the Galoob Inspector Gadget. And I looked at Carrie and I was like, I have wanted that figure forever. And I keep losing out every time he comes up on eBay because he goes for too much money. Like, but I want that figure. And he's so cool.
Return of the Jedi.
Out of the Chipmunks, Dungeons and Dragons.
The toy line.
Yeah, which shows your...
Fortress of Fangs.
Complete, too. All the pieces, which gives you an idea of just what all it came with.
Yeah.
Although I'm looking at this, and it's cool, but it's like, really, it came with three little green rock pieces?
I think those are like a breakaway wall or something.
Ah.
I'm guessing. I don't know. I never had.
I know.
It's on the list.
Yeah, it's on the
list.
But
it's kind of not very high on the list.
Right. Kind of one of those things. Transformers.
Transformers.
You know, surprisingly a big section on Transformers.
Yeah, that's a shock.
She-Ra. I mean, just so much in this book. Voltron. I mean, it, you know, V, Sectars are in here. Thundercats.
Yeah, see,
Muppet Babies,
Thundercats, Jim, Muppet Babies, Teddy Ruxpin.
Teddy Ruxpin.
I mean, 85 was your year, dude.
Yeah, Madballs,
Garbage Pail Kids,
Muscle, Gummy Bears, Robotech, you know, Return of the
85
Jedi.
85 was the last year for Star Wars.
MacGyver,
what's he doing with that thing?
It's crazy. He's like on a motorcycle.
Yeah, that's the only toy they released in America.
You know, Ghostbusters, Laser Tag. I mean, so much. Chuck Norris, Karate Commandos, Rambo. I mean, he just covers so much. And, of course, it goes all the way up to 1989, but the funny thing is a lot of these toys that he talks about here...
In the 89 actually, section, they're actually toys mostly from the 90s.
Yeah.
Or from 1990.
All this DC Comics superhero stuff was from 90.
The Marvel stuff.
The Marvel stuff was all from the, you know, early 90s.
The early the Bill and Ted stuff was from the 90s.
Yep. But you know, I mean, it's that just that tail end. 89 wasn't really a great year for toys.
Apparently not.
But that following year was like, you know, kind of epic in a sense, because it's like all this cool stuff. So, a cool book if you guys get out to go to Barnes & Noble. And actually, I wonder if you can go to barnesandnoble.com and find it.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. I mean, it's not super comprehensive about anything, but there are enough pictures, enough information on each section that you really get kind of a cool... You get a little information, maybe you learn one or two things or get your memory jogged, and it's a really great trip down memory lane.
Yes, very much so.
I really enjoyed looking through it. And like I said, I was like, oh, I remember that. Oh, I had that. And
yes.
You know, I mean, and like I said, it was fun when I got to 85, because even though like I really wasn't into any of that stuff, it was like, all you, man. It was Thundercats. And
yeah.
It was like, oh, man. That was Jason's year.
Check your local Barnes & Noble, because you may have it in your budget section. But if you don't, but you still don't want to, you know, it's $30 book, you actually can go to... It's funny, too, if you go to barnesandnoble.com, if you have a Nook, you actually can buy several of Mark's books on the Nook system. You can buy The Ultimate Guide to G.I. Joe, which goes from 1982 to 1994.
That's a good book.
On Nook. You can buy this totally tubular 80s toys as a Nook electronic book. You can also buy The Ultimate Guide to G.I. Joe. I want to say it might have been his second version of it, because he had a couple different ones.
Yeah, the one next to the 80s toys is, I think, the second edition.
Right, and the first edition, 82 to 94. You can buy both of those on Nook. So, you know, you can find some decent deals on this stuff. But yeah, check your local Barnes & Noble, see if, you know, pretty much every Barnes & Noble here in the States, at least I know of, has them in their budget section. And it looks like you can find, if you go to barnesandnoble.com right now, there's five of them, several of them that are, you can find the best price for $6.95, which is what we paid for it.
Yeah.
So you can buy it for as cheap as...
Actually, we paid 3 cents more.
Right.
Bastards.
Jesus, apparently El Pena Aurelio Books wants to give it to you for $52. That's a little freaking ridiculous. We'll pass. Thank you very much.
I also got the, did you see the Kirby book?
I've read that. I got that from the library and read it. It's a great book.
I got it. Yeah, it is beautiful.
A lot of great stuff. That's where I bought my. They had a leather bound Marvel book years ago that I had downstairs that you've probably seen. I bought from there, and they've got an X-Men one too. But I'm not a fan of the way the X-Men one's designed. Check your Barnes & Noble budget book, guys. You never know what the hell they're going to have in there, especially at Christmas time. That's where I got Steve Sansweet's Star Wars collectibles book that I've got. That big, huge, thick, pretty much shows all of his rare items and everything. So that's where I found that at.
I paid full price, but I got it.
Yeah, sorry. You know, last week we talked about I got an Oscar the Grouch.
Yes, you did.
And he didn't work.
None
of them worked really very
no,
well.
No, not really.
After we recorded last week, you kind of hung out with me downstairs, and we took him apart, and I discovered that there was a wire that controls the motor. One of the two motors on him was pulled off. It had come loose. So we kind of played with him, and I could never get him to work right, and Cookie Monster just kind of flapped his mouth and didn't do a whole lot. So I was frustrated. Dave went home. I went to bed. The next day I got up, went to work, came home, decided, okay, I need to resolder this wire. So I can do that, not a problem. So I took him outside, resoldered him, took him downstairs, and started to play with him. Couldn't figure out. I only had batteries for Big Bird and Oscar, so I didn't have any batteries in Cookie. So I was like, all right, well, I'll go get some fresh batteries for Cookie. You know, I've got an extra thing upstairs. Went upstairs. I kept trying to figure out, why don't any of these work right? I just messed, could not figure it out. Put brand new fresh batteries in Cookie Monster, plugged him in, and I'll be damned if that son of a bitch didn't go like crazy. I was like, and then I realized, I'm like, you're an idiot, Duvall. All you needed to do was go put fresh fucking batteries in these toys, and they would have worked just fine. I can't tell you how long I've been messing with Cookie Monster. I've had him for, 4 months now? 3 months?
It's been a while.
And he's never worked right. It's because stupid me apparently put in batteries that weren't worth a damn. So I went out and got more batteries the next day, put batteries in Oscar, hooked them all up, turned them on, and I'll be damned if they didn't work like a dream. Just like they're supposed to, and I was so happy. The only problem was Big Bird's mouth.
Yeah.
So I even put fresh batteries in Big Bird, and he wasn't working right. Well, I decided, okay, well, I cut Big Bird's head off. I cut it off, but I cut the... That sounded really bad. Cut the seam off, took him apart.
No, you just cut his face off. That's all.
I took him apart, pulled his face off, pulled the fur off, and basically took the side of the head off to like get to the motors and pulled the belt off to the mouth because it's run by a belt. It's actually run by a motor. The motor runs the belt runs the mouth. Well, I pulled the belt off, and that belt was stretched all to shit. And I'm like, well, no wonder. So I went out, found a belt... actually, one of the spare older belts I had from one of the mini Teddy Ruxpins and stuff I fixed, because I pull all the old tape belts off those, and they're stretched a little bit too. But when you put those belts on there, since they're a smaller size belt than the one that was originally on there, and they fit really well, Big Bird works like a dream. His mouth opens and shuts with authority, and I'm like, oh, thank God. So you had never seen these guys actually move?
No, not like. No.
So before we recorded, I was like, hey, did I tell you I got Big Bird and all the trio working? You're like, no. And I was like, I'm going to bring them upstairs because I want to show you before we start recording. So I brought them upstairs, turned them all on, started them. And, you know, first it was just Big Bird talking. And then all of a sudden, Cookie Monster's eyes, they Google.
Yeah.
There's googly eyes.
They spin around.
Yeah. As soon as his eyes started spinning, Dave lit up. Dave's like, oh, my God. He just started
so
laughing.
Cool.
Because the Cookie Monster talks, and you're like, it's so cool.
It was so, and the thing is, like, even when they're not talking, like, sometimes his eyes will just spin around.
Yes,
randomly.
Yes, just randomly, it'll just spin. But Oscar was still sitting in his garbage can, and all of a sudden, at one point, Oscar just starts to peek up, and Dave went, ah!
It was funny.
Dave was like, oh my God.
Because again, it was like, you know, because I'd heard, because when you were playing around, I'd heard the tape, so I knew the story.
Yes.
And I knew that Oscar's part was coming up. But, like, it was almost like Oscar knew Oscar's part was coming up.
Yes.
So he started to peek up.
Yes. Fascinating. And I really think if you haven't seen video of this, which eventually...
Oh, you've got to do a video.
Eventually I'm going to do a video. I want to shoot this story and edit it together so it's really nicely edited together. But go look on eBay and look. Just look up Talking Big Bird. And there's several videos on there with the trio. And you can actually see them talk. And this is probably my favorite part of the Talking
Toys. It was very fun to watch them talk and interact and do their little things.
Yes, it's probably You know, Ideal isn't known. These toys aren't known for being, you know, they're as extraordinary as Teddy and Grubby and Mickey and Goofy, but just the fact that you have three of them together working in conjunction together to tell a story is an amazing feat and very cool to see. So, yeah, I am going to do a video. I'm going to shoot them and get them all, you know, properly lit and shot and everything and just make a really, really cute little video of them interacting. And
I mean, honestly, if Cookie were the alpha toy and you didn't need Big Bird, I would probably go home and check eBay because I mean I adore it. It's so cute. The eyes spinning and he's just it's so cool.
And Oscar though is my favorite.
Oscar's cool too.
I need to find a lid for Oscar.
Yeah.
And I actually called around. I actually called a good pal who actually fixes these. Her name's Dr. Betty, and she does fix these toys. I believe she's retired. Her and her husband are retired, and she fixes these. She's been fixing talking toys for decades now. Used to be just pull string talking toys, and she moved on to electronics. But she, I called her and I was like, "Hey, I need some parts." Like she's like, "What do you need?" I'm like, "Well, I need a Goofy hat. I need a Snoopy collar because Snoopy actually came with a dog collar." I'm like, "And I need an Oscar lid." She's like, she's like, "Well, I can help you with the Goofy hat and the Snoopy collar, but I don't have any Oscar lids." She's like, "I have three Oscars sitting here without lids as it is." I'm like, "Well, that's okay." I'm like, you know, my Oscar works, and eventually I'm sure I'll find a lid, but, you know, it's not a big deal. But the good news came out of that conversation was I was like, "Hey, I've got an extra Grubby. I've got an extra Mickey." I'm like, you know, "Can we work out something?" She's like, "Oh, yeah, yeah." You know, we got to talking and discussing talking toys and told her that, you know, I had an Alf and I had a Fievel and had their boxes and they worked. And I had an extra Fievel and I was like, "Are you interested in extra Fievel?" She's like, "No." She's like, "Nobody's buying them." She's like, "I can't sell them." Which is a shame because it's one of those licensed characters nobody knew existed.
Yeah.
And I told her, I was like, "Well, when it comes down to it, the only licensed character I currently am missing is a cooler."
From Pound Puppies.
From Pound Puppies. And she started talking. She's like, "Well, I literally have a stack of them just sitting here." I was like, "Really?" She's like, "I have one with a box and his tape." She's like, "Well, I'll tell you what." She's like, "Well, she's like, send me an email. We'll get it together. You send me the Mickey and the Grubby and you pay for shipping. And I'll send you these parts, and I'll give you the cooler in the box and an extra cooler so you can use parts to get one of them working." I was like, "That's awesome." I was so excited. I'm like, "You are an angel, Betty. You are awesome." So actually, for other than just paying shipping, you know,
You'll have everybody.
I'll have everybody. Which is wonderful, which I'm very excited and happy about, which means I can stop. I mean, I'll still scour eBay hoping to find a lid for Oscar.
Yeah.
Because every once in a while, Big Bird's nest pops up, and I've got a nest, but I'm hoping somebody eventually will be like, "Hey, I got this extra Oscar lid. This is what it went to." You know, Or I'm hoping we'll be at a flea market or a toy show digging through a bin somewhere, and I'll be like, "Oscar lid." You know? It's one thing. It could happen. You never know. So, yeah, it's been an interesting week all around for the boys in the toy bar.
Been eventful.
Yes.
Me and English speak good.
With that in mind, let's go to some fan questions.
Hey.
Yeah. And we're back while Dave laments about how he's going to find money for groceries this week after buying Batman, which we talked about earlier on the show.
Well,
it was worth it. Oh, hell. Oh, David.
You only live once.
That's right. Well, I guess. Well, you only buy Batman once, apparently.
Apparently. Well, I'm a little, that's the one thing I'm a little worried about is the cape is kind of like pleather and then the outfit's kind of a foam, and it's supposed to be a little sturdier than the previous ones, because I guess there's some issues with some of the previous rubber outfits.
Right.
But I still don't think it's going to, you know, it's one of those things that doesn't feel like it's going to last the test of time.
Yeah.
Which sucks, because for $240, it should be a little...
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you know, something made for kids, okay, it rots away and gets broken.
Yeah.
And so I'm a little, but I mean, for the next 4 or 5 years, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. We got some Facebook questions here. Danny Saxton actually says, "Hey guys, I know that Dave isn't really a Masters fan, but I know
he is." Excuse me.
Every time I say Masters. God, I love that joke.
Meg.
But I know he owns a couple of figures. My question is, who is your favorite Masters of the Universe character?
Character or figure? Because they're probably different. Let me go with figure, because I'm not that into the Masters lore per se.
Right.
I love Drago Man. I mean, he's so cool. I would probably be a tie between Drago Man or Gygor.
Right.
Because he's a big yellow monkey.
Big yellow monkey.
How can you not love a big yellow monkey?
Mine, even though they haven't done him yet, would have to be Rio Blast. I always loved Rio Blast.
Yeah.
I mean, it was their, you know, it was Marshall Bravestar, pretty much. That was always cool. Alex McKay, better known to us as Yoda Soup.
Hey, Yoda Soup.
Says, hey, fellas, just wondering who your top five all-time favorite cartoon characters are.
Oh, dear God. Wow, I wish I'd seen that one in advance so I could have a little time to think of it. Well, because I'm going to miss them. I'd probably put Scrooge McDuck from DuckTales on the list somewhere. I loved DuckTales when I was a kid.
Right.
Or, you know, I thought that was a cool show. And he was the smart, he was like, everyone else were idiots and he was a smart guy.
Right.
I always liked that. You know, this was for both of us. So if
No, I'm thinking.
Way to stump us there, Yoda Soup. Jeez. You know, it's weird because I watch a disproportionate amount of cartoons. And
Captain Caveman.
I will say Hong Kong Fooey, though.
Okay. I'm going to put two of them in one here, Blue Falcon and Dynamutt.
You know, I'm going to excuse... I really should go the cheap and easy route and pick, like, Batman, but... Batman enemies are so much.
I'm going to go an easy route, Optimus Prime.
No, that's legit. I was trying to think of somebody from the G.I. Joe cartoon that I really liked.
I like Denver the Last Dinosaur. I always loved that show, Denver the Last Dinosaur. That was always a good show. The cast of Inhumanoids. Well, just the actual Inhumanoids.
The actual Inhumanoids.
Decompose most of anything.
Well, yeah. Because that's Chris Latta.
Decompose!
Rats, you kind of blew past me, and I'm still
struggling
to think of...
Sorry.
Oh, probably Thundar the Barbarian.
I
love that show so much. If I had to pick someone from G.I. Joe, probably Destro. Again, because he was the smart one,
right?
Like Destro for the Cobra, and then Flint for the Joes. I was a Flint guy. I was not a Duke guy. I just thought Flint was cooler.
Fair enough.
I don't know why.
Fair enough.
Zartan. I was never that huge big fan of Zartan.
No,
I was never that big fan of Zartan. I was never a big fan of Storm Shadow.
Oh,
yeah. I was never into the ninja stuff.
Weird.
Yeah. I got one more to go. Trying to think of a cartoon that I really like. Which is odd because I like a lot of cartoons.
You should say Fluffy Dogs.
No, I should not.
Fluffy Dogs are your favorite.
No, I will not.
You liked Stanley. He was the lead Fluffy Dog.
Oh, shut up. I'm going to hit you. I'm going to hit you so hard. I'm just going to end this awkwardness by saying Finn from Adventure Time.
That'll work.
I really like that show. I'm really into it.
I'm okay with that. And I don't know if I named all five of mine, but... I lost track while I was trying
to... Well, you did, like, cast of this you know, all of these. And
Twilight Sparkle is probably at the top right now, which I'm sure it's everyone's favorite with My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic. But yeah. My God, I love that character. Mike Lacey, MLacey91, says, another week at the box office and the Avengers has topped $100 million for the second week in a row.
Third week,
actually, at this point. Most of us completely loved it from beginning to end. I ask you the question, what movies have you sat through thinking to yourself, God, this is shit? Only to get to the end scene and have it completely change your mind 180 degrees to, oh my God, that was fucking brilliant. Examples for Mike would be Sixth Sense and Fight Club. Anything come to mind for you?
You know, there was one. I can't remember what it was now. But it's pretty rare because I think I'm not into that whole sort of, I either like a movie or I don't. And if there's a twist, it either adds to it or it sort of irritates you.
Right.
So I really can't think of a movie that I got to the end and there was a twist and you're like, oh my God, this makes the movie so much better. Just in terms of twist movies in general, I love Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
That's one of my all-time favorite
movies. Oh, that was great.
But again, the twist added something to the movie,
right, rather
than just sort of like, you know.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't think there's ever really been a movie that somehow something happened in the last minute and especially if I didn't like the movie before.
Yeah.
That made me go, oh, wait, this movie doesn't suck.
For me, it would have to be Unbreakable.
Ah.
Because, you know, that's to me, still, that is one of the ultimate love letters to superhero comics.
Yeah.
Set in a real environment. And it's such a cool, just that, I mean, spoilers, if you haven't seen it, you should have. It's like almost 14 years old now or something like that. Just that last scene where they're pulling Mr. Glass away, and it's just like, oh, you know, oh, such a good ending. I really wish that M. Night would have had a better career so we could have got the other two movies that were supposed to happen for that.
Yeah, well, I mean,
damn it. Star Joe Chuck says, I got a question for the Toy Bar. What is the most you have personally seen someone spend for a single item at a toy show, and what was the item? That's a good question.
Yeah.
My eyes shoot to you, because I've seen you spend a lot of money on shit.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think. I would say probably the most I've dropped on a single item was around $100.
Right.
I know that I got the Rebel Transport in the box for about $100. At a Toy Man.
Yeah.
And I got a Tendril for about $100.
About $100 at King County. Anything
more than that, man, I just sort of back down. And
I can't think. Like, all my stories have to deal with you. I can't think of anyone else. I have seen BG. I've seen him have some ridiculous price stuff on his table, and I have seen people buy them. I know he had a boxed Transformer, and I can't think of who the Transformer was. It was someone actually really cool.
Was it Omega Supreme? No.
Yeah, it was Omega Supreme,
yeah.
And he wanted, like, almost $300 for it. And I was just like, you know, it's been reissued and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it's vintage. I'm like, I don't know. But then we came back later, and he sold it for $300.
Wow.
And it's like, Jesus, man. I'm like, dude, I come to a toy show with, like, $200 and walk out of here with bags full of stuff. I can't imagine walking in here with $300 and be like, well, there's my purchase. See you guys later.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. Is part of the reason that you were supposed to be on duty that one King County... was because I didn't want to... I mean, the year that I found Tendril, I had already spent a lot of money, and I was just trying to hold on to that last chunk of money in case I found Inhumanoids.
Yes, exactly.
So, I would prefer to do it that way, go in and buy a bunch of stuff for decent prices. You know, I don't have the haggling gift that everyone else has, so...
Well...
I do the best I can.
Oh, Dave, you try.
I try, but they're always like, they give me sob stories. It's like, no, man, that's exactly how much I have into it. I gotta feed my children.
I have to at least get this out of it, man.
Yeah.
Just gotta know how to approach those guys.
Try to people are calling me every day, man.
Riordan has a very interesting question. He says, hey, guys, can you please provide any advice for sending in a figure to get graded? I have a Masters Universe Classic Scareglow that I would like to have graded, but the online form is very confusing.
Oh, dude, you should have asked us this like a year ago, because we would have had the master with us.
Yeah, you know, it's... AFA is very interesting. I mean...
That's a word for it.
You know, they made it way more complicated than it has to be. It shouldn't be this complicated. You know, I'm looking at, like, submission forms... You know, you have to provide, like, you have to submit the information. You have to determine what service tier you wish to submit your item under, what item you're, you know, divide your item into groups based on item type and service types. You have to go, it's way too, here's my advice to you. I get that some people want stuff graded. I myself would like to eventually get my Bravestar items graded. I will not do it until they simplify the system, because AFA, everything that this grading company does, and it's a third-party grading service, and to be honest, it's not. They're not really... The only thing that they're really certified and is really legitimate is their comic book grading system, because people say... I mean, they've made shit tons of money on grading classic Silver Age and Golden Age comic books. Action figure grading, I get the benefit of it, but then again... I don't. It's like...
Neat for special items. I would not want to have a whole collection of graded items.
Oh, God, no. Like I said, I'd love to get the Bravestar stuff, because my stuff's never been circulated. It's unpunched. It, you know, the stuff's never set on a peg. But I won't do it. I can't give you any advice on this because I feel so strongly against what they're doing to a degree. You know, when we worked at our previous home, you know, we watched Killen spend ridiculous amounts of money to get stuff graded. And now the shit just sits in the store because no one's going to pay the prices he's asking for graded stuff. You know, you buy a $30 by the time the Classics figure gets to, it's $35. You send it to get graded. It's another $40 to $50 to get graded. By the time it comes back, you're having to put almost a $200 price tag on a graded item that's like got an 8.9 or a 9.0, hoping to get your return on investment. And no one right now cares that much about graded master stuff. I mean, Riordan, you may, and I'm not taking anything away from your decision.
We're not judging you for wanting to have a graded piece.
By all means, like I said, I wanted my Bravestar stuff graded. But until they simplify all of this and don't make it read like fucking stereo instructions from the 1980s, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, the container store. Go to the container store, get a nice little Lucite box.
Yes, yeah.
They have the exact same one.
And they make these boxes that you can buy. You can buy their Lucite boxes and just put your toy in it yourself. I mean, I understand if you want to get it graded just for, you know, your own degree, by all means. But, dude, until they simplify this, it's a pain.
Yeah, it's not our wheelhouse, dude. So I wish we could help you, but
It's just a lot of ridiculous information.
God.
Yeah. Just a ridiculous amount of information. Although they give a fair market value at a Jawa loose cape for $400 in this... That's interesting. They like give you
no, but I mean a 400
a Jawa vinyl cape. Oh, Jawa vinyl cape. Yeah. So I don't know, sir. I wish.
Good luck, man. But I just
it's too much,
dude. He is scrolling through the actual paperwork as we're talking,
and I'm sure Riordan has too. Yeah.
I'm like Cookie Monster here. The eyes are spinning around. It's like, wow.
If it's something that you really ultimately decide you have to do, you want to do,
you're just going to have to sit down and
read every bit. You're going to have to just scour over every bit of information because, like I said, I've never sent anything away. And I just can't bring myself to do it.
Gave it to Killen, and he did it for me. Yeah. I appreciate that.
So, just, it's too much, man. They need to simplify the shit. So, I mean, you can look, like, I'm looking at their cases and supplies forms, and you can actually buy. You can get a custom case made.
I'm sure for Masters Classics, you wouldn't even need a custom one. You can just... I'm sure they have the...
Looks like they got everything for Star Wars. Here, hold on. Let me view all.
Dude, they'll have one for
Star Wars Transformers, Vintage Masters.
Killen alone graded enough crap. I'm sure they have a standard...
Yes.
Masters size.
Thundercats, Lord of the Rings, Disney Cars, Power of the Force 2, Star Wars Hungarian carded figures. There you go. Masters Universe Classics, $24. So you can buy just an acrylic case for $24 and have it, you know, basically get it sent to... And basically, they do this is that if somebody sends in something and they have to measure it, they've got the measurements already made for most of these cases, so they're able to just pump out custom cases based on this. And you don't get it graded, but at least you get the protective case, which, in my mind, really is all that matters. So, if somebody would actually just fucking grade Bravestar stuff, I would be a happy camper, because then I could just order the damn boxes. But no, of course not. Nobody's actually sending enough Bravestar stuff for them to actually offer up the damn custom cases. So, I am shit out of luck on that wheelhouse. So
that's
all right. There you go, gang. That wraps up questions for this week's.
Wow,
I know not a whole lot of questions this week, which is fine.
Yeah.
No questions from Wheelor, which is weird. Oz is still on.
Well, he had a long week.
Yeah, yeah. Oz is still on his sabbatical. So he's still doing stuff though. He just did turned a Jim Roadster into a custom Cruella DeVille Roadster. Did you see the pictures of that on our forums?
I didn't see the final picture, but I saw the pictures of tearing the thing apart.
Oh my god. Oz did just some amazing. If you guys haven't been to our forums, go to toyworldorder.com, go to the forums.
Go now.
Under Fan Corner, there's a section called
Fanwork. Okay.
And he actually posted it under Fanwork. It's Cruella DeVille's custom Panther DeVille. And holy shit. I mean, we've seen pictures of him. He took it apart, but the work that he did on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, look at the amazing. Wow. Amazing custom stickers and bumper stickers on it.
Cute.
Just simply amazing. Just the work that he put in. The interior design, like he custom made stickers for the interior. Painted it. I mean, it fits the Mattel Cruella de Vil doll that he's got. I mean, just simply, I can't tell you. You have to see pictures. I mean, it's spellbinding, the work.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So props to Oz for Oz did some amazing work, my brother. Amazing, amazing fucking work. Just simply spectacular. And he's a great artist too, but his custom work is just.
I've seen some of his art.
Yeah, just he did my the puppets. Basically sketch where he replaced Jason Segel, Amy Adams, and Walter with myself, Carrie, and Puppet Duvall. Yeah. On the Muppets poster, which is still one of my most favorite things. Between that and when I left That New Toy Smell, somebody did the custom. He's been on the boards as well. He is Shin, actually. And he did the art for my farewell on That New Toy Smell. It was just spectacular. So, all in all, like I said, if you guys haven't been to the forums on ToyWorldOrder.com, by all means, you guys need to go, because we've got some great threads, we've got some great artists. Winnie the Pooh zombies, that's just amazing. Just amazing, damn it. Great, great stuff. So make sure you guys go there, check it out. That which leads us into the closing. You know, make sure you check out our sponsors at www.crazykingsandtoys.com. By supporting our sponsors, you support the show and allow Dave and I to continue to do this show every week for free for you guys, which is free funny, free good stuff for you guys to listen to. We like to give you some great oral. That's A-U-R-A-L. And, of course, be sure, as I said, go to the forum, sign up. It's absolutely free. You can leave your questions for this show. You can leave your questions for Married to the Collection. Like, all that great stuff. Great stuff coming in the wings. We got some great stuff coming. Great shows coming. FN, unfortunately, was canceled this past week, which was kind of sad news, but understandable. Yeah. But those guys aren't going anywhere. They're going to provide content and more. They're going to do the skits and all the great stuff that's come to known for FN. They're just not going to be in a episodic format. So kind of sad to see that show go. You know, they made it 12. This week will be 13 episodes. But that's what happens sometimes. It's a loss, but in the end, it helps those guys out because they've got crazy schedules. Whereas guys, you know, we sit
here.
Yeah,
we have no lives.
Not really.
We have nothing.
We don't have crazy Hollywood schedules. So understandable though, but you know, you can still check out past episodes of FN. They'll stay up on the site. You can still leave comments on that show. FN may return someday in the future. You never know. You can follow the site. I'm having trouble there. You can follow the site on Twitter. You can follow it at Toy World Order. You can follow myself at Puppet Duvall. You can follow this show at Dave and Duvall. And then, as always, Dave still hasn't had a Twitter account. He's a piece of crap. You can follow him on Facebook.
Ouch.
That's right.
Harshness.
Son of a bitch. Get with the times, Dave.
Oh, man.
Join Facebook. Join Instagram. Get with the damn times.
Cheers.
Damn it.
Jeez. Trendy. always gotta follow the trends, Dewey.
That's right. So. Damn it. And, as we always say at the end of every episode,
you don't have to go home, but you can stay here.
That's right, gang. Toy Bar is closed. See you next week, peeps.
Harshness.